This is the Feet in Two Worlds podcast.
We talk about like the right and the obligation of the immigrant.
These aren't just businesses. They're a very important part of the experience of being American and Chinese at the same time.
I just got told, well, I'm not going to go to college. They don't take immigrant people.
They were raised and taught that it's so taboo to be out. Here in the States, they are able to express it or show it.
Once they're inside, it's like they're transported back to Manila, to Philippines, in their own favorite Jollibee store.
Feet in Two Worlds, telling the stories of today's immigrants.
African immigrants are reshaping the Bronx.
The Bronx is an area where it's not difficult for someone with a West African background to get connected. It's almost like a Harlem. You can feel free to be whatever culture you are without it being watered down.
I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Over the past decade, the Bronx has seen a significant rise in the number of African immigrants. Africans are now the second largest immigrant group in the Bronx, and their influence on the borough's economy and culture is growing. On this podcast, we're looking at the impact that African immigrants are having on the Bronx. With me in the studio is Kimberly Bonds. She's a social worker who has worked in the Bronx. She's also a graduate student at the New School and a Bronx resident who's been exploring the growth of the African community in her home borough. Hi, Kim.
Hi, John.
Kim, Africans are among New York's newer immigrants, but their presence can be felt in many parts of the city. What makes the African presence in the Bronx different?
Well, African immigrants have been coming to the Bronx in large numbers since the 70s and the 80s. According to the Bronx County Historical Society's journal, more immigrants born in Africa lived in the Bronx than in any other borough in the year 2000. Since then, the African immigrant population has seen tremendous increase. The 2010 U.S. Census reports that there are approximately 70,000 African-born immigrants living in the Bronx. But many believe that this number is inaccurate when you figure in their children and also immigrants that may not report to the U.S. Census because of immigration issues.
What countries do they come from and where do they go when they come to the Bronx?
African immigrants come from all over Africa, but there seems to be a large number that come from West Africa. West Africa includes countries like Nigeria, Ghana, Gambia, Sierra Leone. African immigrants can be found in almost every neighborhood in the Bronx as well. However, there seems to be a higher concentration in neighborhoods like Parkchester, Highbridge, Morrisania, and Tremont.
Kim, let's go to one of those neighborhoods now.
The Islamic Cultural Center is located in the Parkchester area of the Bronx. It serves African Muslims from all over Africa. Sheikh Musa Drama is the center's chairman. I spoke with him on a recent afternoon.
In the next 3 hours, people will be trickling here to listen to the sermons about what is going on in the community. And we also have a community center there where people use it for their weddings and baptism and fundraising. And
the Islamic Cultural Center runs the only full-time Islamic school in the Bronx. But Sheikh Drama explains that that's only a part of their mission.
You know, we also deal with interfaith programs where Muslims and Jews and Christians come together to learn about each other and to celebrate what we have in common so that we can live harmoniously, peaceful coexistence. And we also have a political organization called New York Political Coalition, which is a nonpartisan. We qualify and endorse candidates based on their positions on issues that are of importance to us. We started this organization Tuesday, September 11, 2001. We use our opening day to change to add to our goals. Our goals was to provide academic education in an Islamic environment. But because of our opening day, we added peace promotion.
Sheikh Drama came to the U.S. from Gambia in 1986.
Well, I came for money, and later on, you know, God directed me to what I do best, which is community empowerment, community organization.
Sheikh Drama mentions a reason why many immigrants come to the United States, and that is, of course, to make money. However, many African immigrants are also looking for more than just money. They are seeking opportunities and services. Many immigrants also come to the Bronx because their family's here or they have community networks. I spoke with Sally Neimani, a fellow graduate student of mine here at the New School, about her experiences. She told me that her family came from Nigeria in the 1990s because they were looking for a safer place to live.
The decision behind that really came from a lot of violence in the college community in Nigeria at that point, which was the late 1990s. Nigeria was just transitioning from a military regime. We had a dictator for many years. We were just transitioning to democracy. So once the democratic government came in, I guess excess freedom, we had really high crime, like high murder rates in our city. My dad was really concerned because my sister was getting ready to start college, and he really didn't want us in that environment. My mom did witness a murder, actually, because my mom was pursuing her PhD at the time. And she was coming out of class and she saw these group of guys like chasing this guy and killed him. I think that was like the last straw. The plan was actually to stay in North Carolina because my uncle is well established in North Carolina. And we were there for about a month, and the immigration laws in North Carolina was very strict. We couldn't even get enrolled into school because of our visa at the time. We had a visitor's visa. So it was, the decision came down either to going back or maybe moving to New York. And my aunt, who lives in the Bronx, who owns a restaurant in the Bronx, she called us. She was like, listen, come down to New York City and we'll get the kids into school.
Kim, it sounds like the family networks and community connections are a big reason why so many African immigrants have landed in the Bronx.
Definitely. I spoke with Rachel Turner. She's a fellow social worker of Nigerian descent, and she summed it up quite nicely for me. Rachel explained to me that a main motivator for her parents to move to the Bronx from Nigeria was because of professional and family connections. There was also a social group that her family was a part of. It included families from her parents' village in Nigeria.
It was a place to talk about politics. It's a place to have share native food and just get connected with how things are, you know, and our families here as well as back home, just like catch up.
I think it's really important to point out that African immigrants are not just using the resources available to them to improve the life for their own families, both in the U.S. and Africa, but they're also developing and enhancing the Bronx communities where they live. The Bronx is the poorest of the five boroughs and has a reputation for being a very dangerous place. They're helping to turn many of these neighborhoods around. African immigrants move to the Bronx and start businesses such as barbershops, hair salons, grocery stores, and many professional services as well. In addition to starting these businesses, they're buying property. This can be through home ownership, but it's also through buying commercial property.
And they must also be influencing the culture of the Bronx.
Yes, they are. They're building mosques, churches, African restaurants. There are many African-run schools in the Bronx. When I was speaking with Rachel, she informed me of a less obvious cultural phenomenon that is happening through Nollywood movies.
It's basically homegrown Nigerian movies. They do them with very humble budgets. You know, you go to the Bronx right now, and I can guarantee you there are Jamaicans, there are Latinos, there are Asians, either selling or watching it. Or live stream, or you know, web streaming them, watching them on YouTube. So I think that's one example and is indicative of how Nigerians are. We just get somewhere and we blend and we make it happen.
That's a great story, but it also makes me wonder if this kind of cultural collaboration is always the case.
I think the African community definitely has had their struggles with other ethnic groups in the Bronx, as well as the struggles that come along with immigration to a new country. Around 2009-2010, there were several hate crimes aimed at African immigrants in the Bronx. If we go back to 1999 and the killing of Amadou Diallo, the African immigrant living in the Bronx at the time, it caused a huge controversy. In an effort to resolve and improve the relations between Africans and other groups in the Bronx, the borough president, Ruben Diaz Jr., has formed the African Advisory Council. But equally important are the struggles within the African immigrant community. And those mainly are centered on how African immigrants see themselves and how they understand their place in American culture.
What are some of the struggles they've faced?
Well, when I spoke with Sally, she told me what it's like to be lumped in with another ethnic group that she can't really begin to identify with.
Because in Nigeria, people really don't see race. It's more so about like your ethnic group. Everyone's black, so no one's really like, even though we do have a share of like Europeans and foreigners, but everyone's black, so for the most part we identify by our ethnicity. And even within that, it comes down to like your family clan or like what part of what region you're from within your ethnic group. So when I came to the United States and like now you're black, it's like I never really saw myself as a black person. I knew my skin was dark, but it wasn't anything I paid attention to. So it's kind of difficult being lumped in because I don't know if I quite identify with African Americans, and I don't think African Americans identify with Africans.
So we know that Africans have their struggles, like any immigrant or American for that matter. But something I noticed in my research and in my experience as a social worker is that this group's struggles are underreported. They are very reluctant to show their problems in public or to discuss them in the media.
Kim, why do you think that is?
Well, you know, I asked Sheikh Drama the same question.
The African immigrants hesitant to talk to journalists because the African immigrants come from a society where journalism is controlled by governing bodies. There's no independent journalism where you have freedom of the press. You know, the people that usually run these media houses are government-run media houses. Therefore, your statement may not reflect reality or may not identify with the issues that are of concern to your community.
I think Sally really brings the point home.
In African countries, you really don't have social safety nets. That, you know, you don't have a welfare program. From when you're young, you're taught that you have to fend for yourself. Two, you really don't want to share your problems. There is a lot of pride.
Kim, what do you think is the impact of this reluctance of African immigrants to talk about their problems or problems in their community in public?
While I definitely understand why they refrain from doing so, it's kind of like the old saying, you know, don't talk about what goes on at home. But I think that on a larger level, it really puts them at a disservice because they're not able to have services that cater to them or that are geared towards them that they haven't created themselves. And so I think it's great that they are a self-sufficient community and that they have taken it upon themselves to build a lot of these services and businesses for themselves. But there are a lot of benefits of coming to America, and I'm sure they would like to access some of those benefits. I'm thinking from a social work perspective, it's really hard to meet somebody's needs when you're not aware of the need.
So in other words, because people don't talk about their needs, don't talk about their problems, they then don't have access to services that could help them work through their problems.
Exactly.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for bringing this story to the Feet in Two Worlds podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, John. I think it'll be really interesting to see how this continued positive impact will affect the economy of the Bronx in the future. I'm really interested to see what the borough's going to look like in 20 years.
Kimberly Bonds is a graduate student in media studies at the New School. Our engineer is Tarek Fuda. Jocelyn Gonzalez is the producer. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and listeners and readers like you. Join our growing group of supporters. Go to our website, fi2w.org, and click on the support tab in the upper right-hand corner. Feet in Two Worlds, supporting immigrant journalists and bringing their stories to the rest of America. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.